to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. I am so excited to talk to you about my new 10-week one-on-one coaching program, Energy, Esteem, and Empowerment. I designed this program for people who feel powerless, who feel like their self-worth has been damaged and continually attract toxic situations and people into their lives, but can't figure out why. And worse, they feel like they can't be who they really are. This is something I've been called to do for a long time based on my own experiences with trauma and abuse and my long journey to heal. In this program, we'll be focusing on uncovering your personal power, cultivating self-esteem and self-love, and doing deep energy work. It's time to remove the mask and let your true voice be heard. To learn more, go to carollcampos.com, click on the services tab, and then private coaching. Again, that's carollcampos.com, click on the services tab, and then private coaching. You can do this, and I'll be right there with you. Hi, everyone. This is Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to the Divine Breadcrumb.
So if you've been listening to our show or read any of my blog posts, you know that my childhood was challenging, not because my parents were mean to me. I knew they loved me, but I often felt that I didn't fit in my family. They considered me too sensitive or moody or thin-skinned, or I had a chip on my shoulder. I felt very misunderstood, but didn't have the language or the courage to verbalize what I was feeling. And they didn't have the tools to understand or help me. I now know that I'm an empath. What's an empath? Glad you asked. Today we are joined by Reverend Stephanie Redfeather, PhD, founder of the Blue Temple, and author of one of my favorite new books, Evolutionary Empath. This book not only explains things like how you know if you're an empath, but it also gives you practical tools to navigate the world as an empath. But what I find most fascinating about the book is that it speaks to the role of empaths on the planet. Stephanie Redfeather herself is an empath, and growing up, she didn't know how to navigate this rocky terrain. Her unique gifts were virtually shut down, and as she got older, she pursued interests that seemed in opposition to her innate nature. She got a degree in applied mathematics. She joined the Air Force. And in 2002, she left the Air Force after deciding to be a financial advisor. And she thought this was her calling. But less than 6 months later, she quit because she hated it. And it was then that everything in her life started to fall apart. And over the next 5 years, she got a divorce. Her financial stability was gone. All the beliefs she had held as true fell apart as well. And all of this led Stephanie down the path of what she's doing now. And today, Stephanie explains she's a mystic, a shaman, a priestess, an energy healer, a starseed, and traveler of the unseen realms. I'm so excited. So much to get to. So let's dive in. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We're very, very excited to have you here with us today.
I am excited too. Let's do this.
Let's jump on this roller coaster. First things first, would you explain what is an empath and what are some of the qualities that define an empath? And I know there are many, and I know this is a big question that you address in the book, but if you could kind of give us the overview.
Yeah, of course. And let me just say, when I sat down to write this book, my spirit guides gave me only one directive, and that was create a definition. So, of course, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, no pressure. it was an important undertaking because I have not seen anybody get this granular on describing what it means to be an empath, because it's a term that's been in, you know, spiritual circles and consciousness circles for decades now, and people generally understand what it means. I actually spend two chapters in the book talking about it, approaching it from different angles. But the biggest chunk that's easiest to relay that people really resonate with is what I call the five distinct qualities of an empath. And so the first quality is the ability to merge with and absorb the energy of other beings. And that's people, animals, anything with life force, which stems from a very open personal energy field. And so this is the quality that can cause us to, if we're not careful, unconsciously take on other people's emotions and problems, and also to struggle with boundaries. The second quality is that we have a highly sensitive nervous system. And this may sound like a duh, you know, nervous systems are supposed to be sensitive, but it's kind of like we got a double dose, like our receptors were turned up much higher than other people. And so this can make us prone to overwhelm and overstimulation. And so extra vigilant self-care is absolutely a requirement for empaths. The third quality is the great sensitivity we have to the energies around us and an ability to perceive or access subtle information that's stored in the energy field of all types of life forms. So what I mean by this is it's easy for us to tune into the unseen realms, the subtle energetic realms, the different dimensions of consciousness. This is the quality that makes us predisposed to seeing or speaking to angels or the dead, or being able to, you've heard of medical intuitives, people who can read other people's energies or have wicked intuition, you know, access past lives, the Akashic records, animal communicators, paranormal experiences, et cetera, et cetera. The fourth quality is the premium that we place on peace and harmony, and that is in relationships, our environment, and our own energy field. And so if we're unaware that we're an empath, oftentimes this will show up as being a doormat, letting people take advantage of us, not standing up for ourselves, because we'll do anything and everything to not rock the boat, you know, and to keep the peace. The fifth quality is our big open hearts and a desire to serve others. And so this tends to make us inclined towards careers focused on service. You know, like a lot of people in my tribe are massage therapists, energy healers, nurses, hospice workers, therapists, etc. But, you know, as you said in the intro, I was in the military for 10 years. So, you know, clearly there are empaths that are closet empaths that are in banking and attorneys and engineers and factory workers and that sort of thing. And it's also, again, this open-hearted desire to serve others can also predispose us towards putting everybody else first and putting ourselves last on the list. So, and one thing I want to say about this collection of qualities is they all fall on a spectrum. And so if you're listening going, well, I resonate with a couple of those, but I don't know about the others, that doesn't mean you're not an empath. You know, I don't have a hard and fast rule of you have to say yes to these number of questions. You know, it's just, you know, it's all of these things fall on a spectrum, and wherever you land is where you land.
This is so helpful. And of course, I'm nodding my head as you're listing all these qualities. And one of the things I thought was really interesting in the, well, many things, but a couple that I wanted to point out is, you know, when you're talking about our environment, I was always super sensitive to mm-hmm. noise. And people used to say, my gosh, you have supersonic hearing. And, you know, it was kind of a joke, but I don't think it was that. It was, I was just more sensitive to noise than a lot of the people around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I still am. I can't stand any, yeah. I want it to be silent.
Yeah, me too. The other thing I just, before we move on, I think it's an important distinction to make between an empath and empathy. I think people get those confused a little. So maybe, Stephanie, if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the word empath is, of course, derived from the word empathy. So they do have a relationship, but empathy is more of kind of a quality that allows us to put ourselves in another person's shoes, to have compassion, to walk a mile in their shoes, you know, for a minute, to recognize the sameness in another, to understand the emotional state that somebody else is in. But empathy is something that we can, in a way, turn on and off. It's a quality that we possess. It's a quality that can certainly be developed, that consciousness can be brought to. But being an empath, it is a personality trait, if you will. It's a choice we made at a soul level, actually, you know, to show up in the body with this set of qualities. It is something that exists in us 24/7. It is not something that we can turn off. And let me qualify that, because I don't want people to think, oh God, you know, yeah. I can't, ah! You know, because we're already dealing with enough of our own addictions to try to suppress some of this stimulus and overwhelm. We can adjust the volume. We can learn tools so that we can cope and be highly functional and fulfilled in the world. But you can't just go, I don't want to be an empath, click.
Yes, exactly. Well, and so thank you for kind of going through that distinction. And I love the way you put it in the book, that every human can have empathy, but not everyone is an empath.
Mm-hmm. One of the more fascinating parts of the book is learning what the role of empaths are on the planet. What is the empath's mission?
Yeah. So this was the most exciting piece to download through me. As I wrote this, I kept getting higher level downloads and perspectives from spirit. It was actually kind of frustrating, because I'm like, okay, you guys, can you just give it to me all at once? Because I changed the title three times. I reorganized the content. Can we, you know? But this is the part that I really feel helps distinguish this book from a lot of other material out there, because I tried to back it up to the highest level perspective possible, because for me, I find that context is so important and helpful. And I feel like that's one of the gifts that I bring, is the ability to provide context. And so I believe that empaths are here to help humanity evolve to the next level of consciousness. We are the way showers. We're not an accident. There are more of us showing up on the planet every day, and we are here on purpose. You know, if you go back 100 years, there were not very many of us, because humanity just wasn't at a level of consciousness or vibrational frequency to be able to sustain it. So, you know, there's a quote from the movie Moneyball that says, "The first guy through the wall always gets bloodied." So collectively, those of us who are incarnating and have incarnated on the planet, you know, in the last 100 years, we are collectively the empathic Big Bang, where we are the first ones through the wall getting bloodied, because we didn't have parents that understood us. We didn't have mentors and teachers and community members who recognized our gifts and could explain to us what we were experiencing and why, and give us tools to manage it. So we are the stalwart, courageous souls that chose at a soul level to come and be here as humanity is ascending in consciousness to help establish this new template.
Oh my gosh, goosebumps. There's just so much that we could talk about that all day. And I'm actually going to switch up the order of the question I was going to ask, just because this kind of leads nicely into it. The pandemic has brought about a lot of fears around finances and basic needs. But also it's brought out, I think, more the empaths are kind of speaking up. And I just wanted to know if you could speak to that.
Yeah, there are some video talks, if you will, that I created around this to talk about what the significance of this timing is and how to, again, have a bigger context for it. I'm going to answer your question in a slightly different way, and you can redirect me if you want.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine.
A similar question that I get is, you say that humanity is ascending in consciousness, but if you look at world circumstances, it certainly doesn't look or feel that way. How can you say that? And so one of the things I want to share is, with the pandemic, with the fear, with systems and structures being dismantled, with us really recognizing that that we cannot go back to the way it was, and, you know, in parentheses, do we really want to? When something is shifting, when there's chaos, when there's transformation, a lot of times it can look ugly. It can look dark. But if it's coming up, it's coming up to be healed. It's coming up to be transformed. You know, we are face to face in so many different ways with our own shadow, individually, personally, collectively, planetarily. We can no longer, Debbie Ford talked about the shadow being like trying to keep beach balls under the water in a pool. You know, it takes so much effort to keep them down and they just keep popping up. So we, you know, our beach balls are jumping up there for us to really look at what has been in the shadow for us. What are we denying? What are we suppressing? You know, what are we not dealing with? And so as we're looking at that, I like to give the example of if you measure temperature, say going from winter to spring, every day is not warmer than the day before. You know, so you might have a 40 degree day and then you're down to 29 and then you're up to 52 and then you're down to 38. But if you chart it, the trend is still upwards. The trend is still getting warmer. So if you expand that model and look at, you know, the ascension of human consciousness and the raising of our collective personal frequencies, we are moving in that direction. But it's just, you know, we might be down for a year, up for a year, down for 5 years, up for 10 years. You know, we have to kind of extend that model. But this is, you know, it doesn't always look like progress. Progress does not always look like progress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so as empaths, it is really critical that we engage in self-care and make sure that we are tending to our hygiene, our energy hygiene, and our boundaries. Otherwise, we can absolutely collapse from the weight of our own fear, our own chaos, as well as the weight of feeling it in the collective.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, Deb and I have had a lot of conversations about, there's days where we're just feeling off and there's no reason, obvious reason. And it does make sense that we're all tapping into that energy and it's affecting how we're showing up every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we will definitely get into some of the tools in a moment. One of the things that I struggled with for a long time, and I know I'm not alone in this, was wanting to live in my upper chakras, meaning I just wanted divine connection and at times didn't want to be here. I wanted to be quote unquote home. And I now know that it's important for me to be connected and grounded to the earth, which leads me to my next question. Would you explain what embodiment is and why this is so important?
Yeah, it is tempting to live in the upper chakras. And so let me just give a little context for that. The lower chakras are denser. So if you're aware that, you know, there's a color that relates to each of the chakras, color is frequency. Each one has a different vibration, a different hertz, you know, hertz frequency. And so red, which is the first chakra, is a lower frequency, a lower vibrating energy, and then it gets higher and higher as we go up. And so it takes, you know, there are a lot of mediums or people who speak to angels or have had direct experience with higher beings that talk about the energy it takes to slow your vibration down to embody, to be seen by a human, or to, you know, to bring something into manifestation. And so, you know, our lower chakras are denser. It is where more of our human pain and trials and suffering and wounding exists. And so some people may be familiar with the term spiritual bypass, which basically mm-hmm. means living in the upper chakras and just not being connected to their body, denying, ignoring, repressing their own pain, their own unfinished business, if you will, their own unresolved issues, and just, oh, I'm going to stay up here where it's happy and it's light. I'm just going to be smiling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say affirmations, and I don't want to, you know, you're angry. I don't want to talk to you. You know, mm-hmm. we're just going to stay here where everything's bright and shiny. And it is a defense mechanism that our psyche employs. So leaving our body is not necessarily a bad thing in a moment. You know, there are people who talk about during an accident or some traumatic event, leaving their body, floating over the scene of the accident, floating over themselves in the hospital ER room. You know, when something traumatic happens that scares us, this could be sexual abuse, physical abuse, any sort of trauma, you know, being a hostage or seeing atrocities of war, the way the psyche protects itself is we're just going to withdraw the energy. We're going to withdraw our presence. We're going to withdraw our life force. We're going to unpluck our roots from the earth, and we're just going to retract and essentially leave our bodies because it's safer. Because if you're present when all of that is happening, it can be overwhelming. The challenge of being a spiritual being in a human body is being in a human body.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is what embodiment is. It's recognizing that we are both. We are spirit and we are matter. And if the point was just to stay, it was just to connect back to spirit, because a lot of the esoteric practices are upward pointing, mm-hmm. upward focused, meaning ascension, meaning enlightenment, meaning transcendence, which often also to me falsely implies that, you know, the emotions, you know, the desires, the passions of the human are lower, are base. They make you unevolved. They make you unspiritual. So, you know, transcendence means leaving those things behind. I believe that's incorrect, you know, because if the point was just to transcend our physical experience and become one with spirit, why did we incarnate in the first place? You know?
I'm so glad you said that, because I loved in the book, because you talk about it. We're here to have that human experience. And I don't know, when you were jumping on, I was all fired up before we started recording, because what I'm hearing is what I, a lot lately, kind of in the spiritual circles, is what I'm calling spiritual elitism. Like, well, no, if you are looking to increase your abundance and do all these things, that's not right. That's not as spiritual. And there's kind of this shaming and judgmental aspect of it. And to your point, I don't think any of these things are bad.
Yeah, it's tricky, because, you know, in the book, I talk about this. I meditate. I do what you would call upward focused practices. You know, it's very important that I have a connection with spirit, that I can connect to that vastness and, you know, my higher self, and work on that higher perspective and raising my frequency and vibration. And I don't do that to the detriment of my own needs and desires and emotions. If I'm feeling sad or angry or frustrated, I'm not going to go, oh, well, that's unevolved. Dang it. That means, right. I, you know, I've made a mistake. Right. Oh, I got to shove that down and I got to keep smiling. No, that is an invalidation of ourselves. When we do that, when we ignore our own emotions and desires and needs, we are invalidating our existence. And so embodiment is a practice of living fully in your body, being absolutely connected and grounded, because we are the conduit. There is no manifestation without a human. We are the vehicle through which the unmanifest is made manifest, through which spirit comes into matter. And that can't happen fully and completely. We can't run our full life force energy and be fully present in our bodies if we're not working on those pieces. And I understand that it's hard and a lot of people don't want to do it. They have so much trauma that it is absolutely terrifying to try and be in their body. I'm not saying this is easy.
Right.
We've talked a little bit about self-care already. So in the book, you provide a toolkit for empaths, which provides practical techniques for managing one's energy. Can you share one or two of your favorite tools?
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of go for the practical daily application of what I call energy hygiene practice. So if you think about your energy field, your own sovereign bubble, if you will, that you reside in, it's just like your house. You know, you got to vacuum, you got to dust, you got to straighten things up. And, on a daily basis, we need to tend to our energetic house. And so one of the simple tools that I use is I smudge myself, whether it's sage or sweetgrass or Palo Santo, whatever your thing of choice is. I also use my breath, and this is one of the most powerful tools that we possess, and it doesn't cost us anything. You know, I will just take some deep breaths with consciousness. So my intention is I'm breathing with the intention of clearing my field, and I will inhale, and then I will just imagine from the top of my head, exhaling all the way through my body, down and out my feet, and clearing my field of the energetic dross, of the dust, if you will, of the detritus, and giving it to Mother Earth to transmute. So you can imagine angels with wings brushing you, or standing under a magical waterfall, or if you know those automatic cat litter box cleaners,
yes.
Every so often a rake just kind of goes across. You know, you can just imagine a rake, if you will, going through your field. But what we're clearing ourselves from is, you know, first of all, we're all energetic beings. So sometimes it's just inane stuff like dust floating through the air. What is dust? It is dead skin cells. It's animal dander. It's carpet fibers. You know, it's just stuff that accumulates. But then there's also other people's emotions that we might have picked up, other people's energies or fears. There's our own stuff, you know, can just get clogged like a drain. And so that daily energy management is absolutely critical.
So what about thinking, you know, back to kind of the pandemic and just how it's affected everyone. And, you know, there's a lot of people going back to work and leaders aren't necessarily equipped to deal with the emotions going on. And of course, there's empaths in the mix. How does maybe a parent of an empath or a leader, a manager of an empath, are there any tools that they could employ that could help?
Yeah, it's going to be a slightly different answer, I think, depending on if we're talking about, you know, a leader in a company, if you will, or a parent at home. I'll start with the parents. Well, let me say this first. Compassion, mm-hmm, understanding, yeah. Patience, listening, like giving people the benefit of the doubt right now, not being quick to trigger, you know, and of course that's going to be a direct, indirect relationship to the amount of inner work that you've done yourself and your own consciousness. Because if you're not aware of those things, people outside of you are going to trigger you instantly. And then you're down that road of, you know, automatic patterns playing out. But if you can be conscious and bring a level of awareness to understand that the other person is probably just as scared, just as concerned, worried, fearful as you. As a parent, depending on the age of the child, give them opportunities and suggestions to move energy, because energy can get pent up. And so fear, confusion, frustration, boredom, all of those things are energies that can get pent up. And so you know, especially being physically active, dancing, walking, working out, getting out in nature, or moving energy through creative expressions, you know, art, give your, you know, so if your child isn't of an age where they understand, have enough self-awareness to know what's going on, give them things to do that are going to help move that energy, or go outside, like earthing, especially, you know, right now, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, while it's warm outside, get your feet, get your body on the earth. There's a natural electromagnetic exchange that occurs where we can discharge a lot of those energies. You know, as a leader, as somebody who has people to manage or supervise, listen to the other person, ask them what they need. How are they feeling? How can I support you? You know, how can I make your job easier? That in and of itself is just everybody's going to respond positively. And when somebody says, how can I support you? And also creating an opportunity, and this has to be managed carefully so it doesn't just become a big gripe session that devolves, but to create opportunities for employees to come together and just talk about the damn elephant in the room. Sorry, but you know, it's like, yeah. You know, to that in and of itself releases the pressure when people can give voice to a thing instead of going, can I talk about this? Am I supposed to smile and act like nothing's happening? You know, so if the boss in a position of leadership, you have to take that initiative.
Absolutely. So I apologize for the disjointed question. It wasn't originally even what I was going to ask, which is why everything's just tumbling out of me right now. Like, how much can I get in here? but I do know that, you know, a lot of our listeners are moms and in leadership positions. We have a lot of people even on LinkedIn who come out of the woodwork and you know, a lot of this can help them. So thank you for that.
I actually have a personal to me question. Oftentimes I have to interact with people that are, let's just say, difficult to interact with, whether it's their beliefs or the way that they express their beliefs. And I just feel like I'm getting beat up when I'm with them, even if nothing's happening. I just feel it. If I know I have to go into that situation or that situation can't be avoided, which is my current strategy, what can I do to prepare myself for something like that?
Yeah, excellent question. I have several suggestions. So this is going to speak to your energetic boundary, the edge of your energetic container and your shielding. And so my husband and I will kind of jokingly say when we go out into the world or, you know, go to the big box store or whatever, okay, shields up.
Mm-hmm. You know, like Star Trek. Yes.
Exactly. but what that really means is taking a conscious moment to just check in with your energetic bubble, to fortify it, to make sure it's solid, that it doesn't look like Swiss cheese, that it's not lopsided or, you know, has a whole chunk blown out, so that you can stay in integrity. Then there are additional things that you can do. So depending on what resonates with you, one is to imagine shaping your energy container sort of like a cow catcher on the front edge of a train.
Oh, okay.
So that whatever is coming at you is deflected off to either side, if you will. Another thing that you can do, depending, like I used to do this when I was in the corporate world, sitting in a meeting, this is really subtle. This is a shamanic technique that I learned from a teacher of mine, is to take your index finger and your middle finger and put them together, have the other fingers tucked. So it's kind of like you're pointing with one finger, except you're pointing with two. And you just point that at the ground and you act like a lightning rod, where you're not taking on the energy, you're not ingesting it, you're not bringing it into your field to stay there, you're just letting it move through you, and you're using those fingers that are just, you know, kind of subtly hanging down at the side of your chair or whatever, to discharge the tension or the charge in the room. And, you know, so it's really important to recognize you're not taking it on, you're just acting as a way for it to move through and to ground it back into the earth. A third tool is more of a mindset, which is don't take it personally.
Right.
Yeah. Stay detached from whatever they're saying and don't get roped into, you know, if they're trying to bait and hook you or push your buttons, or, you know, even if they're not trying to do those things, to just stay detached as much as possible.
Perfect. All excellent tips.
That's great advice. I'm picturing myself sitting in the next meeting that's uncomfortable with my two fingers
yes.
down.
Yeah, me too.
I love it.
Well, Stephanie, what other exciting things are coming up for you? What else, you know, is in your pipeline?
Oh, thank you for asking. I do have a couple of other multi-author books that I'm a part of. One of them actually came out. So my book, The Evolutionary Empath, came out November 5th. And let me just also say, if I can take a moment to shamelessly promote.
Oh, please do.
it is a gold winner of the 2020 Cover Visionary Awards for the Self-Help and Personal Growth category. So it is an award-winning book.
Congratulations.
Thank yes. you so much. It is an international bestseller. It has been published in other languages. I've got my first foreign language copy. It was published in Dutch, and it has several others coming up. It's available in audiobook that is read by me. So it is, this book is making an impact, and I'm so excited about that. The same month, another book came out called Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change. And that is a multi-author book where each author contributed a story. So when you were talking a little bit in the bio about, you know, growing up and being, you know, my youth and my experience of being in the Air Force and the financial planning business, my story is in this book, Chaos to Clarity. On July 7th, another multi-author book came out called The Ultimate Guide to Self-Healing, Volume 2, where each author submits a self-healing technique that a person can do at home. And both of those are also best-selling books. And I just finished a few weeks ago my next project to my publisher. Now, in traditional publishing, things are, you know, a long timeline. So it's probably going to be over a year before this comes out, but I just finished an Oracle deck.
Oh, exciting. How exciting.
Yes.
I love yes. Oracle decks. I have many.
Oh my God. So do I. I have tons of them. And it's the working title is Cosmic Mission Activation Codes.
Ooh, I
yes.
love that.
Yes.
There's nothing more exciting than getting a brand new deck and the beautiful images. Oh, I can't wait to see
yes.
it.
Yes. And I actually did the images as well. I did the artwork.
You did?
As well. Yes.
That's so awesome.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that's something to look forward to for sure. Well, Stephanie, honestly, I feel like we just, you know, and we say this a lot, but it's just like the tip of the iceberg. There's just so yes. much. So open invitation anytime you'd like to come back.
We've
had so much fun and learned so much, and I'm sure our audience gained a lot of insight. I'm sure there are a lot of empaths out there breathing kind of a sigh of relief, knowing that there are tools to help them navigate what's going on in their life and their role in the world.
Yes, yes. And I'd just like to share, if I may, my website is bluestartemple.org. You can get a free copy of the Evolutionary Empath Activation Manual if you decide to subscribe to my list. And I've got a video home study course. I've got guided meditations and other products that are available to support empaths as well.
Oh, terrific. We will put all of that in the show notes so people can find it quickly. Thank you again so much for joining us today, Stephanie. This was so much fun. And the book is really helpful. And everybody should go check it out. I think that it will, things that maybe have not been clear for you will become clear. And yeah. it will really help. As always, the show is available on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please, if you like what you're hearing, drop us a quick email or contact us through the website. We'd love to hear what else you'd like to hear from us or what you'd like to hear more of. And Stephanie, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And everybody, thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next time.
Hi, everyone. If you love the Divine Breadcrumb podcast and the stories we're sharing, please consider supporting the show by making a donation on our Buy Me a Coffee page. You can set up monthly donations or make a one-time donation in any amount you choose. Just go to thedivinebreadcrumb.com and click on the Support TDB tab, or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/TDB. Again, that's buymeacoffee.com/TDB. We're forever grateful for your support.